Blog Talk Radio.
Preseason week two. We are back. We are live. We'll be with you every week, right through preseason, right through the regular season, through the playoffs, and into the Super Bowl. The question is, will your team make it to the Super Bowl this year? This is a time where we start 0-0. We start over. You know what I'm saying? This is the beginning. I mean, everybody starts off with the same dream, right? Win your division, make the playoffs, win the Super Bowl. And right now, despite what they may say in Vegas, it's wide open. Anybody can do it. You never know. Yeah. With that said, I am Commissioner T, host of the Madden Voice. Let me introduce my two co-hosts. You should know them by now. You know, little fans of the Madden Voice, listeners out there, you know who they are. But I'm going to introduce them anyway because that's just what I do. We have EAFL Super Bowl I winner, the man with his PhD. I say it every week. Why? Because I can. We know him as Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? Appreciate the intro, man. I think I gotta get out of here, man.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We also have, you know, with Madden 13 1 week away, we will see if once again, can I say throughout this coming Madden year that this guy is one of the best Madden players in the world. Time will tell, but I can say it now without hesitation. You've seen him on Madden Nation. The guy is you know, all you got to do is just go Google Madden Nation, go Google K-Star. You can read all about him. Ollie Quick on Twitter. And you want to learn how to play the game, he'll give you lessons. You don't have to pay him, but he'll give you lessons. Go ahead and check him out. He is with us tonight, our other co-host, K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, hold on, T. What's up, y'all? First of all, T, did you say time will tell? Time has been telling us this for a long time. Every year I'm one of the best players. Come on now.
Well, but every year the new game comes out, and it's
every year,
always wonder.
You're right. Every year is a new game I happen to conquer. So I'm ready for Madden 13. I'm fully prepared for this Madden season to dominate it. I'm looking forward to it. Just like I'm ready to dominate the show. Let's do this.
Every year. We hear that Madden this year is going to be better. Every year is going to be better than the last year. But this year, you know, I've heard it more than I think I've ever heard it, how much better
it
is.
Yeah, this year that saying actually has bass in its voice. Like, it really does.
Yeah.
Like, it plays fantastic.
Yeah, I took time away. I mean, I didn't even buy the game last year. I just needed a way. I needed a break. But I might get my hands back on the game this year. We'll see. Not that I was ever that good, mind you. But I might still get the game anyway. Anyway. Let's talk about week two of the preseason. A lot of stuff went on, and we got a packed show tonight. And if you guys want to call in and chit chat with us, 347-838-9525. You could also send us a message on Twitter and just send it straight to the Madden Voice. And you know, if you happen to be on Facebook and you want to click that, go to the Madden Voice and send us a message there. Click that like while you're there, so we know that you came by to say hello. We'd love to chat with you. So just check us out at the Madden Voice. But Let's start with the Giants and the Jets. And the reason I wanted to start with the Giants and the Jets was for a number of reasons. You know, first of all, we have to give the Jets. I mean, I'm sorry. See, I'm already messing up. We have to give the Giants their just coverage. They are the Super Bowl champs. You know, and I feel like they really haven't had a lot of coverage this offseason. It's really been kind of quiet, and that's because the Jets went and signed some guy, you know, some guy. And so the Jets have been getting all this coverage, you know, because of their backup quarterback. And so, you know, I said, well, okay, let's see what the Jets got. You know, they're both at home, technically. They play in the same stadium. And, you know, let's you know, the Giants should be the measuring stick. I mean, they're the Super Bowl champs, right? And I don't know if you guys saw the game, but, man, it didn't even look like the Jets even showed up for that one. Now, Train, let me ask you, are the G-men already in midseason form? Are they just that good, or are the Jets just that pathetic?
Yes, they're pathetic. I'm sorry, we don't bear some pay the G-men until Friday. You know, you can ask me next Tuesday whether the G-men are in rare form, but no, the Jets are seriously, they're just that bad, man. They got to get back to what got them to the AFC Championship two seasons in a row, and that's running the ball. It wasn't Sanchez's arm. So until they can get back to that team that they were to run the ball consistently and play that tough-nosed defense that they play, man, the Jets are really just that bad, man.
Yeah. Well, before I give K-Star the floor, I do have to just say this one thing. Can we stop now? I mean, the Jets have so many things wrong with them that all of this emphasis on Tebow, Sanchez, they both stunk. I don't know that either one of them distinguished themselves, but I don't know that it was completely their fault because the team is just so bad. You know, it's horrible right now. What I saw, horrible. Now, I know it's preseason, okay? Everybody's sending me messages and saying, damn, T, it's only preseason. I get that. But goodness gracious, it was bad. It was pathetic. I recorded the game, and I watched as much of it as my stomach could tolerate. And I couldn't find anything on the Jets side for them to be happy about, except that there's a lot of things to distract from the Tim Tebow talk, because I'm pretty much tired of talking about Tim Tebow. But there's so many other issues on that team. I can't even begin. I mean, the offensive line is just horrendous. They didn't show any kind of running game. They had no passing game. They had nothing.
They got a lot of top picks in that offensive line as well, too.
Yeah, well, they must have been picking their behinds because they certainly wasn't blocking. You know, I mean, Tebow was sacked four times, and honestly, I can't necessarily blame him. He had no time. You know, I couldn't even. I'm honored to. I'm going to dog you. Look at you. But I watched the game. I'm like, I can't even do it. I mean, the offensive line was that bad. Made the Cowboys' offensive line from a week ago look pretty good. I felt like I was too hard on my team because I'm like, wow. So I don't know. K-Star, you follow the Jets. What do you think?
Well, that offensive line looks in a state of emergency right now, let me tell you. I know it's preseason, so it's not like they, you know, really motion backs to chip in and block Pierre Paul or, you know, motion tight end over and really try to game plan against a rush. The fact that they can't handle a four-man rush is pretty pathetic and not have success, even sitting on the receivers out there in a vanilla-type game played. They look really bad. We were talking about it last week and how maybe it's just overreacting, but they look terrible. I mean, there's no Santonio Holmes. Hopefully he'll improve that offense when he comes back. But until then, it's looking bad. Sanchez, Tebow. But I do want to say that Sanchez made himself look terrible. When he threw that pick six, first thing I thought was, you know, here comes the Tebow chance. Here comes, you know, this is the start of the uprooting of you know, Sanchez, almost like a foreshadow to an extent. So we'll see how it goes. The fact of the matter is, as bad as the Jets' offense will be, all the blame will go on Sanchez initially because most people are buying into the hype and everything, you know, of Tebow, and he's awesome to watch, but they don't have any protection, and, you know, it's not going to matter either way, really.
So, well, yeah, I will agree with you to a point, but we had, and all joking aside, we have seen Tebow bring something to the Jets, or I'm sorry, something to the Broncos,
yeah,
and that he could bring to the Jets with his versatility, you know, and being able to run. And, you know, not that Sanchez isn't mobile, but Sanchez isn't 6'4", 250 pounds and built like Tebow. So that is a dimension, especially with a crappy offensive line. You know, I mean, I've said it and I'll still say it. They didn't bring this guy in to be the backup. Now, Rex Ryan was interviewed and he was asked point blank, you know, did you bring Tebow in to be the starter? And he said, no. You know, Sanchez is our starter. But what else is he going to say? You know, that's what he's going to say now. But I'm telling you, I give it 4 weeks. 4 weeks, and they'll give Tebow the team. And sad to say, I believe he'll actually produce. He just can't throw, but he'll produce.
He'll produce scoring drives, and they're going to need each and every single one of those points, whether it's a field goal here, a touch on there. I mean, he did at least, you know, conjure up some points on, like, Sanchez. And behind that offensive line, like I said, it being a state of emergency, they're going to need Tebow, really, if they have any prayer this year. But really, in the grand scheme of things, I just don't think it will matter because that team, I just don't see anything other than 8-8, 9-7 attached to them regardless at best. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, and the thing about when you want to start looking for, you know, optimism, they do something, you know, Tebow has this guy wide open.
Oh, yeah.
And he one hops the ball. I mean, if I'm Tim Tebow, okay, and the knock on me is I can't throw the ball. You ask anybody that analyzes the NFL, anybody that does what we're doing, even the people that get paid a ton of money to do it, you ask any of them, and they all will say the same thing. He just can't throw the ball. Everybody. This isn't just my opinion. It's everybody's opinion. So when you have a guy wide open, you can't do that, Tim. You can't do that. You can't. I would rather throw it over his head. Throw it, you know, like put all your body into it, but don't one hop it like that, bro. I mean, it was ugly. It was sad. It's the reason why Mark Sanchez will be the starting quarterback week one.
I'll say this though, despite the bad throw, he did create almost the pass coverage breakdown there by scrambling around, moving around, almost like Big Ben in the pocket. Only difference is Ben would, you know, complete that play, and Tebow needs to do it because if they hit that touchdown, that's a huge thorn in the butt. That's really starting the mob.
I'm going to come and save you right now. Don't you ever, as long as you host this show, put Big Ben and Tim Tebow in the same conversation. Just don't do it.
No. You don't need to tell me that. It was only a general comparison of the play itself, of the actual play creation.
Tebow in the same conversation as Ben Roethlisberger? Train, is that me or did I just hear that?
Come on, K-Star, man. I don't care how K-Star, listen. I don't care how they look as far as same-type quarterbacks, but they just don't belong. Dude, Big Ben knows how to play the position. And it's
Ben can play from the pocket all day long. Hold on, I'm not trying to compare the players. I'm not trying to compare the players at all. I'm just trying to compare that play in that regard as breaking down the coverage because moving around the pocket and scrambling outside and being flushed out. Only difference is, again, like I said, Big Ben makes that play. Tebow, you know, you kind of just hope for the best. So he got part of it, right?
I don't even think he moves out of the pocket to try to make a play. I think he just moves out of the pocket because he doesn't know any better.
Maybe that's the case, but if that pass coverage keeps breaking down, then he's on to something. So we'll see.
I think you guys need to put, like, suspend K-Star for a week or something from Steeler Nation. That was sacrilege.
Hold on. Now you're getting carried away. I'm not comparing the two as players because they're incomparable. Big Ben's a top five quarterback in the league. You know, Tim Tebow arguably is a top five quarterback top five quarterback in the league. It's bad. Like,
he's not even a top 32 quarterback in the league.
I mean, and some can argue that. Some could even argue that based off statistics and, you know, things of that nature. So, hold on. Let's not get carried away. I'm not trying to say that at all on the same level. I'm just trying to say maybe there's some sort of hope if he can make me complete those kind of passes during the actual regular season because Mark Sanchez can't create at all in the pocket. He's a statue back there. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, it was bad enough that the Giants got their butts handed to them by the Jets. I'm sorry. It's bad enough the Jets got their butts handed to them by the Giants. Giants go in, they play well. You know, they show everybody that, yes, we are the Super Bowl champs. They're getting healthy. You know, it's the wide receiver that's back this week and back to practice that had a broken foot.
Ahmed.
thank you, Knicks. He's back, and you know, you have to respect them. But instead of sitting back respecting the Giants and what they're doing as defending Super Bowl champs, we had to get witness a video of JPP taking Prince Amakamura and dumping him into one of those ice baths that the players get into, you know, after the games. And I guess the kicker, Weathersford, whatever his name is, recorded it on his cell phone and then sent it to YouTube or whatever social media site, and it just went like wildfire. And so instead of the Giants being celebrated as a team that already looked like they're in midseason form playing so well, now we had to question so many questions around this incident. Train, what do you think about this incident? What are your thoughts about this cold tub, you know, cold ice tub prank?
I think the kicker is stupid. I think they should tie him to a bed and beat him with a bunch of wet socks. That's what I think. I don't think it's any depiction of how the team is. That's what they do. Listen, man, like they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You don't put anything that happens in your locker room on the internet. That's just idiotic. This is the football locker room. And both of you, you know, y'all had a chance to play football, maybe high school or whatever level. Man, the locker room is where you kind of let your hair down. Nothing gets outside of the locker room. This dude's an idiot. That punter is an idiot. And just trust me, he probably got a lot of flack for it from his teammates, but he's an idiot. I'm not buying anything into it about whether the Giants are immature or anything like that. Look, it happened in the locker room. It should have stayed in the locker room.
K-Star, any thoughts on the incident?
Yeah, I'm a little worried because I hear people compare it to bullying and everything like that, but I'm just not seeing it. Only because at this stage in both of these men's lives, let's be honest, they're tough guys. They made it to the NFL. So, again, I put more blame on the punter for exposing locker room antics because this probably happens all the time. And the fact that some people are bringing bullying into this and, you know, feeling sorry for Prince is a little – I don't know. I just don't think it applies in this particular situation in an NFL locker room. I really don't. So I really didn't see it as a big deal. If for anything else, I see the punter being beaten with pillowcases full of soap and nothing more. Like, seriously, like, that was bad. What was he doing posting that? Like, what good could it come out of that? Like, I just don't understand.
You know, I don't disagree. Obviously, the easy person to attack is the kicker who put it on there, and all of us on, you know, on the phone, and many of us listening have participated in team sports on some level, and we all understand that, you know, when you're on a team, it's family, and you know what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room, et cetera, et cetera. We understand that, and I don't disagree with that. But you know, I watched the video a few times, and I don't get it because Prince Amakamura, or however you say his name, he's not a rookie. I mean, he's in his second year now. JPP's in his second year now. You know, and if it was rookie hazing, yep, that happens. But if you watch the video at the very end, JPP made a comment like something to the effect of he won't say that again or he won't do that again. And if you look at Prince, he did not look happy. He didn't look like it was a joke to him. And so while I understand that what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room, I think there's more behind this, even though they're not trying to cover it up. I think there's an issue there. And remember I said it August 21st, 2012, week two of preseason. There's an issue there. Something's not right there. I don't know whether it's JPP. If maybe he's another Ndamukong Suh or something, I don't know. But there's an issue deeper than this punter just put in it. Because it wasn't all fun and games. If you watch, I ask you all to go back and watch that footage again. It's all over the internet. It's all over YouTube and plenty of other sites. And watch the end. Prince gets out and he does not look happy. And you watch what JPP says. Something to the effect of, he'll learn not to say that again, or he'll learn not to do that again. This wasn't rookie hazing. Something went on here. Something went on. And they can clean it and brush it up and all of that. but something went on. This happened. This was deeper.
Do you seriously think that's going to cause some kind of team division?
Yeah. Watch it again with the new information I'm giving you. And just watch it and listen to the words that people are saying. Listen to what the teammates are saying. Okay? I just think there's something beyond this. I think there's something deeper here. I don't know what because I'm not in the locker room, so how would I know? But when I watched it, I expected it to be, I've been in locker rooms. I played football. I played basketball. I've been in locker rooms, and we've done things. And, a person finds out, and they're like, you got me this time. Wait till I get you, You better watch your back, bro, because I'm going, and we all laugh it off, and then we watching our back because we know he's coming to get us. And it's jokes and fun and games and all of that. But I didn't – there was just a little piece missing there. It was a little piece missing. So just watch it. You guys watch it, and then you come back next week and tell me what you think. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If it never comes up again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't know. Let's go to the phones. We got a caller on the line. Let me see here. Here we go. We have a caller on the line, and actually it's another 317. So 317 area code, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. How you gentlemen doing this evening?
Good. How you doing?
All right.
I'm doing fine. I'm doing just fine. I was listening to the show. First time caller, first time listener. I'm liking what I hear so far. You gentlemen sound like you're both well informed about issues and topics of the National Football League. And if you mind, I'd like to chime in some of my opinions, if you don't mind.
Don't mind at all.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, I know, what I'm saying, my guy. You watching the JPP, press thing. You guys are just talking about it in depth. And, I'm watching this tape, what I'm saying? And I'm looking at it, and I'm watching JPP. I'm hearing everything, and, And I'm just thinking, we really have no idea what's going on. So when we sit here, I hear, saying it got to be something deeper because you hear him at the end and everything. I'm just thinking, it's so hard to base that because it's like you have no idea what's really going on. And a second thing is this. I keep looking at this, and I keep seeing Prince. He's an NFL player. He's a smaller guy for an NFL player, but he ain't no, little kid or nothing. This dude ain't, a punter. I mean, if he really did want to get thrown in that pool, why was he not doing anything not to get thrown in that pool? What I'm saying? It was just kind of like no resistance. I really think this whole issue is just like part of the news cycle we have. We need something to talk about. Oh, look at this tape. Oh, he threw him in the pool. I'm sure this is probably not even the first time something crazy is happening like this in a locker room. It's locker room, what I'm saying? And it's just so overblown, and it's just so, let's just stand back and see what happens, what I'm saying? It's easy to speculate that it's something deeper or something bigger, or it might cross, team, dysfunction. But remember, this is the same Giants team, they had fining players for being 5 minutes early or something stupid like that, and they go through this nonsense all the time. And they just go through the spin cycles, and we hear all these things come up, and we wonder about the Giants and Bob. And, they just consistently either go 8-8 or win a Super Bowl. I don't know.
Here's the thing. They've won their Super Bowl, so now it's time for them to tank because that's what they do. That's what they did in 07. They won a Super Bowl, and then they didn't make the playoffs again. But I agree with what you're saying. But what you're saying almost backs my point more than your point. We don't know. And that's more my point is, if it was so innocent, why don't we know? Right? If it was just all fun and games, right, why don't we know?
I guess I'm going to use that term that is rarely used anymore because in the world of social media and Twitter, it's actually none of our business.
No, it's not.
It became
our business when the media grabbed it and ran with it, and then people started saying, in this era of bullying, this is a bad show for kids to see this. At that point, if it was innocent, but hear me out. At that point, when it becomes, and when Tom Coughlin has to address it and says, not a good look, that's the time to come clean and say, let me explain what really happened, everybody. It wasn't bullying. Here's what it was.
See, this is they're defending themselves from speculation from everybody who doesn't actually know. And that's what it, I mean, I guess it sucks being in the public position, being that. Because you know what? I'll use this example. Mr. Shaw, you there? Pat, K-Star, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
K-Star? All right, buddy. You remember we went on a trip one time, not to expose anything, but me and Pat, me and K-Star, I know him from back in the day. We've known each other for a while, you know.
Definitely.
And that's why I'm listening to support my boy. And I remember one time we were faking we were getting into an altercation. Now, at the place we were at, there was a bouncer who didn't like the altercation we were getting into. And the bouncer came up and pushed my friend, Pat. Now, this is what I'm saying. It's
got
like
thrown against the wall violently, basically.
Before he knew what was going on, he jumped to the conclusion that it was bad. We're automatically jumping to the conclusion that something had to be going on, so therefore they're defending themselves. It's almost like the position of if your girlfriend accuses you of cheating, what do you do? How do you defend yourself? No, I'm not cheating. You know what I'm saying? What do y'all expect to say? Because we're going to speculate no matter what. You know, no matter how they play it, we're going to speculate that either A, they're putting out a fire, or B, you know, we're going to do this whole if something going on. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like whatever it actually is going on between those two, whether it's personal, whether, you know, maybe Prince slept with his girlfriend. I don't know. It could be anything in the world. But it's just, I don't think it's really any of our business. I don't think it's really
Here's the difference. You and K-Star are not multimillionaire NFL athletes who make your living performing in front of hundreds of thousands of people every week. You're not public figures. Okay, that's the difference. So once this became a part of the media, if this had never been exposed, do we need to know? Absolutely not. But once it became public information, wasn't my fault it became public information. That was a member of the team's fault, and he admitted later he was wrong. It doesn't change the fact. He made it public information. Once it became public information, and now we are sitting back saying, what are you saying to kids that get bullied? What is the impact on these kids? Then I think you have an obligation to clear the air and say, oh, wait a minute, let's clear this up.
I hear you. But see, that's that little leap. That's that little leap that we're automatically making. And that's, I guess, more of a media thing, more so than us actually know what's really going on. Because it's kind of like, you know, and rest in peace, Junior Seau, when he died. Everybody wanted to make the leap that it was concussion without knowing the actual facts. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, and then we start creeping on this dead guy to see, picking at his life, interviewing his family to try to find out what was going on without really, like, knowing the facts. And it's just like this little jump, this little incremental jumps between if it's right here, it's got to be something else. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the difference. All they have to do, all JPP and Prince of Nakamura or Coughlin has to do, instead of allowing us to jump to conclusions with what we have for information, all they have to do is say, here's what happened. It's not bullying. It's not hazing. Here's what happened. And the fact that they did not do that is why everyone is sitting back speculating. And until that, and now this will die in a week or two. It'll die.
It's going to run a cycle. I mean,
it'll die in a week or two because something else will come up to replace it. But what I'm saying is, I am speculating, and yes, I am speculating that it's deeper. That's my personal speculation. I didn't hear that on any talk show. I'm not biting off anybody. That's just my own personal opinion.
It's human, man. We speculate. You know, I look at a young lady who's wearing, you know, something skimpy. I think, you know, she's obviously, a very nice young lady. You know what I'm saying? It's just how we do. We speculate on people without knowing.
It's a family show, so thank you for that. Thank you. Because I know exactly where you're going. It's a family show. Appreciate it. So what's your team?
I'm a huge San Francisco 49er fan, my guy. I love them. I've loved them, and people. And Nesquik, you know, you're from San Francisco. People ask that question. I say no. I grew up while I was living in Denver, Colorado. I lived in Dallas, Texas, man. Steve Young, I saw him play against the Cowboys, and I fell in love right there because he was just like, it was greatness to see, you know, somebody move like that. And I learned about Jerry Rice, and I stayed with him. And it was rough. This decade was rough. But now,
through the awful Alex Smith rookie year, through even the Jeff Garcia heydays, all that stuff. He's been a fan his whole life, so I got to give it to him. I've been following the Niners years with this kid forever.
We like loyalty on the fan base.
Yeah, he's loyal.
I try to say, you know, it is what it is. You know, I gotta stick it out. It's a terrible relationship. I'm not gonna lie. The last decade was really, really not the funnest. And you know, when Sundays come on, the only thing you want is your team to win. And when they go out there and dumb stuff happens, you just get mad. You're mad at the world. But last year, you know, we looked. Everything came together. I'm looking at this dude, Alex Smith, man. And he got the keys to my happiness, and it's what do you think, man? What's both your guys' personal opinion? It's very simple, right? Alex Smith finally got a coach who actually knew how to call plays, a little bit of offensive line, you know, and everything kind of came together as a number one pick. Is he ever going to throw for 4,000 yards? Hell no. Is he ever going to throw for 30 touchdowns? No. At this point, that's not what I need. Well, I look back at Tom Brady in his first year he won and Ben Roethlisberger in the first year they won. And I keep seeing these numbers that are around like 3,500 yards, 62%, 20 touchdowns, 8-9 interceptions. And I say with the defense and everything, I think that's good enough. What do you guys think, personally?
Well, I'll say this and then I'll let somebody else chime in. I'll just say this one thing.
Uh-huh.
Your coach brought in Peyton Manning for a workout. That's all I have to say. Go ahead, Trey.
Indeed, he did. So.
Okay.
He's not 100% satisfied.
Right, go ahead, Kay.
All right, I'll say this. The formula that the Niners have in place is, I think, intuitive to winning the Super Bowl. I think they have it only because the talent around Alex Smith is so deep. In so many different positions, a wide receiver now, you know, the tight end Vernon Davis. The defense is the best in the league, I would say, and that's a serious thing I heard to say right now, in all football. So with that formula, we've seen that work before. We have, and, I mean, with that formula, they'll win. I mean, they can win Super Bowl, I should say. They were, what, a fumble punt or two from Kyle Wins last year, getting to the Super Bowl, as Kyle here remembers.
They definitely have the tools.
So the Niners definitely have everything in place to make that run. But at the end of the day, if you have to put some points in the playoffs, Alex Smith did that last year against the Saints, and you know he outperformed to a recent extent, put in more points before than he did to win the game. So not all hope is lost, but at the end of the day, it's tough because you do know that with points to be had, Alex Smith's your quarterback. So it's you still don't feel too comfortable about it. I mean, it's there, it can happen, but you know it's a little tough. It's going to be a little tough, but that team's equipped to do it just with the formula in place.
The Niners can win a Super Bowl under Alex Smith, but it's going to take somewhat of a similar season like it did last year, mistake-free. That's all it is, and a lot of it has to do with the coach. You know, because I remember watching the game in that they played Detroit. It was, I don't know, early part of the season, but he didn't let Alex Smith he didn't put the ball in Alex Smith's hand for the scoring drive. He put it in Frank Gore's hand all the way down the field until they got in the red zone. He threw it, threw a short pass for a touchdown.
Oh, no.
But that's kind of what it's going to take for the 49ers to make sure Alex Smith doesn't have that many mistakes at the quarterback position.
It's like this, bro. Alex Smith is like a battered girlfriend who went through a lot of bad relationships. But all you got to do is give her a little confidence, you know, dress her up something nice, tell her that she looks good every day, point her out, get her some nice things, whisper some nice things in her ear when she wants to hear it, and she can look herself up to appear to be, you know, a good 7 or 8 and emotionally stable and maybe somebody you can actually, you know, do things with and date seriously, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. And that's all we need him to be. And that's why I love Harbaugh, because he worked with him so well he worked with him, and you saw him just boosting his confidence, having him on the shoulder. After that Detroit game, and I remember that game, yeah, we did get Frank Gore. Frank Gore was on a tear then. He had like five straight games of 125 yards or something like that.
And he boosted his confidence, and then he killed it by bringing in Peyton Manning to work out for the team.
See, all you got to do is go back to film and say, I was just looking at her, baby, you know I love you. Because it's Peyton Manning. Come on. I mean, how can you be mad? If I'm Kerry Kittle and I play for the Nets, and maybe we made the playoffs in 1993, and the Nets had an opportunity to get, Michael Jordan or somebody of that caliber, I mean, what you be mad about? That's like when the Bulls were trying to trade for Kobe. Ben Gordon being like, hey, man, how you about to trade for Kobe, man?
Wait, wait.
Come on, man.
You're saying that you're comparing Kerry Kittles to Alex Smith? You're saying that that's a similar level of talent?
I
haven't hung up on a caller yet in your K-Stars boy, and I respect what you're saying up to that point. You just lost me on that one. Kerry Kittles or Alex Smith?
Woo!
Think, bruh.
All right. What I'm saying is this. You have a guy who is maybe in the middle. Well, I think Ron Jaworski had him ranked perfect. 16th, dead middle. Not better than some of the rest, but not nearly as good as the others. Okay, that's fine. And I'll take that, you know.
How far did your team go last year?
What? Well, I mean, bro, come on, man. I know you look, bro, quarterbacks will go.
Conference championship game last year.
Quarterbacks will go
to the Super Bowl. Had every chance to go to the – I mean, could have, should have, would have went to the Super Bowl. And that guy who performed at that level, who your coach out of your own mouth just got him, you know, you the man. We got a team. You just keep doing what you're doing. I like how you look. You know, girl, you look good in that miniskirt. Girl, I like how you look. I don't know what happened to them past relationships you was in, but, baby, it's you and me now. Don't even worry about nothing, right? And then a week later, she sees you at the club with another woman.
But it's like this. It's like the girl. I mean, what are you supposed to say, man? You know what I'm saying?
You cannot
say
it.
It's like, hey,
you didn't sleep with her, but you sure was trying.
Did you hear Harbaugh? I was just dancing with her, baby. I wasn't really trying to get with her. That's exactly
not gonna work.
And everybody in the world heard that. And even Alex Smith looked at this. Really? Really?
I was just dancing with her. Alex Smith, I hope he understands the self-realization that it's okay to not be Peyton Manning. If Andrew Luck can have a great career and not be Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning is still arguably, honest to myself, in my eyes, the greatest regular season quarterback I've ever seen, and in way up there in the top three or four best quarterbacks I've ever seen play. And I'll sit here and say that. So to sit there and say, hey, we have a chance to get one of three or four best players, I mean, you know, hey, if I'm
damn,
even right now.
Baby, that was Jennifer Lopez I was talking to. Baby, you understand? That it was J-Lo. It was J-Lo. Have you seen her?
You have to understand. He could sit there and might be a little mad, but come on, man. It was Peyton Manning. Nobody could be. Look, who else was in the race? You think Jake Locker is really mad because the Tennessee Titans talked to Peyton Manning? You know what I'm saying? You think even Tim Tebow, he won a playoff game, for Christ's sake. He did just as much as Alex Smith last year, pretty much. Won a playoff game. Not nearly good statistically, but, I mean,
Tim Tebow is never mad. You can't talk about Tim Tebow being mad. He's never mad. Tim Tebow is like, oh, it's okay. The Lord will take care of it. Man, whatever, dude. You don't even mention that guy, Tim Tebow, being mad. You're okay. He's more concerned with him and Sanchez sitting down having 10 cookies and winning quarterback position. Come on, man.
I'm sorry, man. If I'm Kevin Cobb, I can't be mad at myself because they released me from Michael Vick. If I'm Alex Smith, really, they tried to talk to Peyton Manning, man. I mean, if it was like Dante Culpepper or Donovan McNabb or, you know, some of these second tier guys, Matt Moore or something, I'd be like, okay, what's
Let me
what
just remind you of one thing. They denied it in the beginning, you know. Your team you're saying that your quarterback should accept it and it's okay and it wasn't a big deal, but they denied it when the reports first came out. They denied that they talked to Peyton Manning. And then it came out later that not only did they talk to him, they worked him out. So all I'm saying is, you're right. It's business. You're right. I mean, your job is only as good as your last performance. You're right. They have a right to bring, hey, at that point, Alex Smith hadn't signed his contract extension, hadn't signed his tender. So, hey, absolutely, let's see what our options are. But then you lied about it. You said, no, we haven't talked to Peyton Manning. No, not at all. Then you had to come out and say, well, you know, I'm sorry. Actually, we did work him out. I think Alex Smith is a professional. Based on all the interviews that I saw, and I think he's going to go out there and play to the same level that he played last year. But, you planted that little seed of doubt in his head, and hopefully it doesn't grow. That's all I got to say.
And yourself, sir, who are you a fan of, your mommy asking? Who are you a proud representative of?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of the only other team that has 8 Super Bowl appearances along with K-Star's Steelers, and that would be the Dallas Cowboys. Absolutely.
Dallas Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Well, words can't describe how I feel about that team. Because,
you're
a 49ers
fan. You should feel. I'm not exactly in love with you right now, but, I mean, you know, you've been contributing. So I like that, you know, but you're a 49ers fan.
Look, bro, honestly, bro, both of us want to be at a further place in the past decade. It hasn't been fun for either of us. So we can sit here and bring up this whole 1994-5 to catch all that, but that's you know, we're thinking this year, bro. And, you know, what do you think about, bro? Look, I always said this, and I've said this plenty of times, because I was a believer that, you know what, I thought Tony Romo would be a joke. When they were like, what does a third-string Eastern Illinois do? Who had one good preseason game? Get out of here, bro. And then he actually played very well and led him to the playoffs and has been what he's been so far. Statistically, it's all there. And I say the talent is all there. It's tangible, all there. Everything's there. But it just, like, doesn't come together. But if you watch last year, okay, obviously, yes, there are the obvious games where his influence obviously changed the outcome of the game. But I still think that the talent is there for them to win. So do you think that he is good?
Well, let me put it to you this way. And then I'm going to have to move on, but let me just answer your question. Just as you said, in the last 10 years, we both have had struggles. The two things that we can both compare is we both had coaching issues. San Francisco, I mean, you guys you've had two great coaches in your history with Bill Walsh and George Seifert. But, you know, look at what Mike Singletary did to that team. And then you pretty much turned around with the same team and gave it to Jim Harbaugh, and he made him a Super Bowl contender. And all I'm saying is that coaching matters in this league. I don't care how much talent you have, coaching matters. K-Star is a Steeler fan, and the Steelers is probably the only franchise that every coach that they have can make a claim to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's incredible, you know, so he's a very fortunate guy. But all of us sitting on the phone have had our share of substandard poor coaches, and Tony Romo's played 4 years under Wade Phillips, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not excusing.
His dad's name is Bob. That's all you need to know about Wade Phillips.
Hey, Phillips. So now I say Wade is long gone. We're past the collective bargaining agreement lockout. You know, he's past his broken collarbone injury. He had a 102.9 quarterback rating last year. The team, you know, defense just couldn't step up. The Cowboys focused in on that in the draft. Let's see what happens this year. There should be no excuses this year for this team to be competitive. And I'll leave it at that. But listen, we're going to move on. I want to thank you for the call, brother.
Appreciate it, and you know, I'll see you in the NFC Championship game when the Niners play the Cowboys again, bro.
There you go.
Good luck, bro.
All right, now.
Huh?
All right, Kyle.
Take it easy, man. Peace.
All right, good call. Good call. We like that. 347-838-9525, although I'm pretty sure my co-host here, Dr. Train, would have something to say about the Cowboys and the 49ers being in the NFC Championship game this year. But we'll get to the Bears.
It was a good joke. Even though I didn't, you know, I was like, hey, you can't tell jokes, but carry on.
So let's give K-Star some love and talk about the Steelers and the Colts. And first of all, let's ask K-Star to give an update. You know, I talked a little bit about the Cowboys impromptu, but how did you think your Steelers looked against the Colts?
I thought the defense looked awesome. Troy Polamalu is, of course, God bless his soul, Troy Polamalu at the end of the day, which puts us, you know, at the top of his defense from, you know, start to finish. I thought we looked good. Like I said, we confused Andrew Luck. Obviously, he's a rookie, so that kind of was expected to be. Antonio Brown showed out a little bit as well. That 70-yard touchdown off the screen was just absolutely amazing, open field.
I thought that screen touchdown was freaking amazing.
Yeah, that was – he should view his moves. Yo, he has some elusiveness in the open field. He said, Mike Wallace, hey, man, this is why I got paid, son, so please get your ass back in camp. But, no, we looked good. We ran the ball pretty well. And, honestly, to be real, we've run the ball a lot this preseason, and some are expecting us to run the ball a lot. I don't see it. Mike Wallace is expected to report this weekend to the Steelers camp. Honestly, I believe this is a whole mirage for some clean season. I think we're opening the door in the season opener against the Broncos, slinging the ball everywhere. This is Todd Haley. This is a guy who in Arizona opened that offense up, three wide receiver sets, Anquan Boldin, Steve Rest, and Mary Fitzgerald. And they have a very great offense. And with Mike Wallace, you know, Antonio Brown, and Emmanuel Sanders, it's going to happen again. And honestly, we don't even have the personnel run the ball like that. We are losing running backs by the day. By the second, from last year to this year, Isaac Redman, our opening day starter, is a hurt hip. He didn't play. And, you know, Rashard Mendenhall, obviously on the mend, the ACL injury. But, hey, man, we look really good. Can't complain. It's only preseason, and, you know, our starters do what they're supposed to do. But, again, I really do think the Steelers are trying to lull the NFL to sleep. And when they come out week one, they're going to be coming out throwing the ball. I really do believe that's going to be the case. So I'm really excited for the upcoming season. We look good.
Yeah, Todd Haley. Anyway, Train, what's your thoughts on Andrew Luck? Is he everything that we thought he'd be, more or less?
I like what I see. He's actually playing better than I thought he would, to be honest. The Steelers, I mean, they got him early on. The interception return, forgot to take six on him. Had a couple of interceptions on him. But, you know, I think as he continued to play, he played a little better as the game went on. But, yeah, he's going to have some more days like that when he gets ready to, you know, play against tough defenses. But he's definitely playing better than I expected.
I will say this about Andrew Luck. I completely think that the Colts now, I think, that they knew exactly what they were doing. I didn't particularly – I'm not a big fan of lack of loyalty, but I do understand the business aspect of it. We paid Manning to $28 million, the neck injury and, you know, a lot of uncertainty there. But this guy's the real deal. This guy is the real deal. I mean, what I've seen from watching him play in these two games, if you didn't tell me that he was a rookie, there would be no way you would convince me that he's a rookie. I mean, the poise, the patience, the decision-making, it is that of one who's been in the league for several years. And if they can you know, stay healthy and put a reasonable amount of talent, they might surprise some people this year. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, win their division or anything like that, but, you know, I don't think we're looking at a 2-14 or 3-13 team with this guy. I think this guy can get him 4 or 5 wins himself. So far, what I'm seeing, very, very impressed with Andrew Luck, more than I thought I'd be. So, you know, it's a good move for the Colts at this point. The other issue with the Colts, Austin Collie, who has had multiple concussions in his career, a couple of real ugly ones, and he had another one in this game. And, you guys can chime in, but I just have to say this. I wish he'd retire. I think he's concussion prone. And I saw the hit. I didn't think it was dirty. I didn't think it was that bad. I've seen him get hit pretty good and get a concussion. And, I've said, yep, with that kind of hit, he should have got a concussion. I didn't think that hit was that egregious. It's starting to look like he's just—it's just not good. And I wish he would retire. I wish he would just say, "It's not worth the quality of my life in later years, my family, my loved ones, seeing me drool baby food out of my mouth at the age of 45 to play this game right now. You know, I personally just wish he would retire. I don't like to see that. I don't. And I think if he keeps playing, it can't be good. It can't be good. This is a violent, physical sport. And these guys, they're not sitting there saying, oh, we know you're concussion prone, so we're not going to hit you. No, they don't care. They don't care. And I just wish he would retire. I don't know. K-Star, what do you think?
He needs to retire at this point. Three concussions in the past 21 months. If he gets another one, that could be not even career-threatening, but moreover life-threatening, just in his everyday walk in life with his wife and family and all that stuff that he has going on. And it's too bad because you see the potential in him being a pretty good receiver. This very brief preseason, Andrew Luck has been going his way quite a bit. So it's too bad that, honestly, at this point, I really don't think, at least from afar, not issues or anything, I just don't think it's a good look for him to continue his career, knowing that the next concussion could really do damage on, again, not just his football career, but his whole family life. It could be bad. It's very dangerous. So it's too bad, but he's got to retire at this point in his career. He really doesn't have an option.
Train, are we overreacting, or you agree?
No, I don't have too much to add to that. No, you guys aren't overreacting. You know, in the long term, I remember the Bears having a receiver by the name of Tom Waddle. Tom Waddle caught everything thrown his way. We also had to get him up off the field every single time that he caught something because he was going to get knocked out. Remember a quarterback by the name of Steve Young. Awesome, great career. Yeah, he also was getting knocked out every single time. So with that said, you want to have a life after football. You know, sometimes you got to know when to call it quits. And for him, unfortunately, it may just be time to call it quits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope he does. I mean, I understand that everyone, you know, you got to make a living and you got to, you have a right to do what you love and your livelihood. But at some point, I think right now he should really seriously just say, I got to go, you know, and he's plenty of places he can go and get a commentating job or something. But anyway, let's talk about RG3. Let's talk about Cousins. But before we do that, we have to give our man Train equal time. Skins played the Bears. Actually, I have that game on right now, NFL Network. They're replaying the Skins and the Bears. Not that I'm really watching it, but it just keeps me in the mood to talk about some football. But and by the way, if anybody wants to call in, 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. We are on Twitter as well. I've seen a couple people comment, including our very own Ali Quick, but a couple other people commented that they're listening to the Madden Voice. Appreciate that. Just send us a message at the Madden Voice, and we'll see it. And, of course, you can go to Facebook and just www.facebook.com/TheMaddenVoice. Check out our fan page and, hit like if you like. And one added thing, if you want to see Commissioner's T's first episode of T-Bonics on YouTube, I put it up last week, talked about Chad Johnson. Not a very long video, just a little something just to give you a little tease, but it's on YouTube right now, and all you got to do is search for, again, The Madden Voice. And you'll see the first episode of T-Bonics. Episode 2 will be out before the end of the week. So with that said, Train, give us an update on what you saw with your Chicago Bears in the game against the Washington Redskins.
Man, I think that was a RG3 welcome to the NFL game because they put the clamps on that guy, but the Bears always play good against mobile quarterbacks. So they kind of know how to contain him in the pocket. But, I mean, they played better than I expected against them. You know, they got to him real fast. They made him leave the pocket early, and, you know, they made him make some crucial mistakes, force a fumble. So defensively, Chicago is good, but, you know, I don't think it's going to shake RG3. I think he'll be okay as same as Andrew. You know, he got his welcome to the NFL from the Steelers, so I think, you know, both of them will be okay as the season goes along. Just a matter of getting used to the speed of the game and understanding that there are really some top-notch defenses out there that will, you know, make you, you know, realize that you are with the big boys. But, you know, Chicago as a whole, I think.
Sorry. That was me. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm looking up things as we speak, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Chicago as a whole was good. It was really, it was definitely good to finally see what the offense was like when it has all of, you know, when it has, you know, Jay Cutler and Marshall and Forte back there, and we were definitely able to move on. I mean, the first play of the game was Cutler to Marshall. I mean, Cutler to Marshall, 41-yard pass. You couldn't ask anything better to open up a game. And then you got a chance to see Michael Bush in the red zone, and I see exactly why Chicago picked that guy up, man. I mean, I don't know if y'all saw the play where it was him and the linebacker in a hole, and there's not a whole lot of space in that hole, but it looked like Adrian Peterson shaking somebody. I don't know. So that was good. That was good to see. I didn't like the fact that we had three players go down to injury. We lost both the safety that we drafted last year and the safety that we drafted this year to injury, and even our punter has a hip flexor. So I'm not happy about those, and just hoping those injuries don't linger into the season. Besides Urlacher being out, but other than that, with the preseason, I kind of only take the high points. Everybody raved about, you know, how bad Chicago's offensive line is. Well, the whole time Cutler was in there, no one touched him. They barely got close to him.
Because he's getting rid of the ball quickly. No more Mike Marsh. Actually, a regular offense. Three step drops.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what Mike Tice talked about doing ever since he became offensive coordinator. 3-5 step drops. He talked about putting his players in position to succeed, and that's exactly what we saw offensively. Also, Alshon Jeffries is turning out to be a better receiver than people expected. He knows how to shield defenders off and catch the ball. He actually was able to create some, create a play in space, broke out, you know, and had a lot. I can't remember how many, like 28-yard pass, but, you know, he created after he got the ball. So Chicago looks, right now it looks good, but the big test comes Friday. So we'll see how we fare against the Giants.
You made a comment early in your analysis that the Bears play well against mobile quarterbacks, and they very effective against RG3, and that's a very true statement. I recall, and I think K-Star took exception to my comments, but I recall back then the draft when we did our draft show, I did not like the fact that the Redskins drafted Kirk Cousins. Didn't like it. Didn't think it was fair to RG3. And this game is the beginning of my vindication, because Cousins played really well. Now, granted, we know how preseason works. We know that the starters are in for a certain amount of time, and we know that the backups come in. And so we know that there's going to be a little drop-off in who RG3 was playing versus who Cousins was playing. So I concede that fact. But that said, dude looked good. And I'm not necessarily saying, although I know when I sent out the show agenda, I know I said, do we have a battle? I was kind of being funny. I don't think we have a QB battle in Washington. I really don't. But I'm going to say this, and you guys can tell me I'm wrong. This guy comes in and goes 18 for 23, 264 yards and 3 touchdowns. He can play some ball. Okay. If RG3 struggles, there's going to be some hollering down in Washington. Okay. This is not going to be like Andrew Luck. Okay. Andrew Luck's got that job. That's it. He's there. And he's there long term. They're committed to him. And that's it. They let Peyton Manning go to go and get this guy. So it would take a whole lot in Indianapolis for this guy to be benched. I don't think that's going to be the case. I said it at the draft. I'm saying it again now with RG3. And I don't think it's fair, because I think most people will say that the talent level between RG and Luck is pretty close, pretty similar talent level. They're different quarterbacks, different play styles, but they're both extremely talented. And yet RG3 has this guy looking over his shoulder, and he's going to be there all year. And I'm telling you, the Redskins struggle. Remember I said it. I said it at the draft show we did after the draft, and I'm saying it now. There's a reason they went out and got this guy. And had the Redskins not drafted, the Redskins had drafted Luck, they would not have drafted Cousins. If the Colts had drafted Griffin, they might have went after Cousins if they were in a position to get him. And I've already said why K-Star didn't like me bringing race into this conversation. But when you have two quarterbacks that are similar talent levels, and this is what I'm seeing, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't know.
All right, whoa, hold on. Are you referring to the Luck RG3 debate that was, or are you talking about just because RG3 has Kittles as a backup and Luck does not? I'm trying to follow you here.
Luck doesn't have a backup to name, and Cousins was a fourth-round draft pick. That's an awfully high draft pick for a backup. When you just drafted a rookie, you just drafted your franchise. And then you go and draft in a fourth round a backup. This isn't a guy grooming for, you know, to take over the team in 2 or 3 years. This is a fourth round pick. And I had an issue with it then, and I have an issue with it now. And I think if RG3 struggles, which he might, he's a rookie. I mean, it kind of comes with the territory. It's a different game. He's playing in the NFC East. You know, it's arguably the toughest division in football. So he's going to have, I mean, he's got to play the Cowboys twice. There are no slouches. Got to play the Giants twice. There are no slouches. Got to play the Eagles twice. There's six games right there. Got to play the NFC. Got to play, you know. So I'm telling you now, do not be surprised if Cousins continues to perform like we saw against the Bears. Granted, it was their backups, but it was still a heck of a performance. I'm telling you. We're going to have an issue in Washington.
I agree that them drafting a quarterback that early was stupid, especially considering you're right. I mean, you know, say if RG3 does struggle out the gate, or I mean not out the gate, maybe second year, he's still not playing too well, but not enough to warrant being benched. But that's the matter. Maybe Kittles has a great preseason for second year in a row, looks better in camp for whatever reason. I mean, there's legitimate controversy to be had there. And as an organization, I don't think that was really the best decision. I can't sit here and point race because I just don't look at things from that angle. But I would say that from an organizational standpoint, that was stupid. But let's be honest, the Redskins for the past 15 years or so have been incompetent. You know, them and the Browns have just been very, very bad with management decisions, with ownership decisions, with personnel decisions. It's from the list down. So I do agree that they have set up a situation in which, you know, Griffin might face more pressure than in which he should. But I don't think Griffin's play will ever dictate that. I think he'll be a strong player in the league. But one thing I do worry about is Griffin's body frame. You know, he weighs 217 pounds, and if he runs around with pressure in his face and gets hit, you know, he could be, you know, a little bit like Michael Vick, a little brittle. We haven't seen that yet, that speculation. But, again, I just don't see RG3 playing
bad
in the NFL either.
You're making my point because historically the black quarterback has been the more mobile of the quarterbacks. You know, you look at all the top black quarterbacks we've had over the last 10 years, who can
that's
you say so, was a stationary pocket passer?
McNabb for the most part was. He pretty much was. You know, McNabb always went scrambling as his last option. I think RG3 would be that type of player. You know, he's not going to just take off, I don't believe, when there's pressure in his face. But I believe he'll be throwing more in the pocket, using mobility to keep the play alive.
Just to correct you, because I watched him twice a year, McNabb was not a pocket quarterback. McNabb moved around back there. He moved around.
No, he moved around,
played.
But he still moved around the pocket.
And
he rolled out. He rolled in.
No. He would roll out. He would roll out, and if he had the field, he was gone. Trust me, he did it against Dallas too many times.
That's true.
Okay,
that's where you don't have that general skill set.
What I'm saying is you're bringing in the exception, Steve Young. What I'm saying is that over the last 10 years, when you talk about the top performing black quarterbacks, that's what they've brought to the table, is that extra mobility that the stereotypical, prototypical white quarterback doesn't bring. The Tom Brady's of the world. Drew Brees is a little mobile. I'll give him that. Aaron Rodgers is mobile.
Yep.
I'll give him that.
Aaron Rodgers is very mobile.
Yeah, I give you that. But the Brady's of the world, the Peyton Manning's of the world, you know, that's – and when you look at Andrew Luck, yeah, he can move around in the pocket.
Oh,
but he
absolutely.
But he is He's the pocket quarterback. He's more of the Peyton Manning build. He's the pocket quarterback.
Only because Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers are smart with that skill set. Like, they're running around in the pocket to create plays in the passing lane, not just scramble around.
Wait. But you're saying smart with that skill set. So
yeah,
you're saying that.
Hold on, I know what you're trying to do. That's funny to me. No, I know what you're trying to imply. The funny thing about it is I'm simply saying they know how to use their skill set in the sense that they're not trying to create, you know, plays on the run. They're trying to create within the pocket, within the agility and elusiveness they have in that pocket. You know, it's very simple. And I believe, and as I said earlier, I believe Robert Griffin is that type of player. I believe that's what I prefaced it with and to begin with. So what I'm simply saying is...
Player. Because you said hopefully he's not like he, because he's small build, and you hope he's not like Vic.
I hope he's not brittle, only because he's 215 pounds and 6'2", and he has so much athleticism. The guy is so fast. Like, for instance, he's not nearly. I don't worry about Cam Newton getting hurt. You know why? Because he's a thick build. He's a big guy. He can shake tacklers. Like, you know how I feel about Cam Newton. He's an amazing athlete, amazing football player, amazing quarterback. So my whole point is, though, if you look at, because I know we're going to transition to Vic here in a minute, but when you look at the body frame and who RG3 is compared to, it's only because of the athleticism Mike Vick has, and the body type. Robert Griffin III is a small guy. He should be compared to Cam Newton at all. You know, he, with the athleticism that he has, is Michael Vick-esque as far as his speed, a world-class speed. But my only thing is, behind that offensive line, I hope he doesn't get any mess and get hurt because of that Kittle situation could bite them in the ass, which, again, we talked about a little bit ago.
Well, I stand behind my point, and you were heading there with me. I heard Train groan because he heard it too. I heard it too, and
if you're looking for it, you can find anything, and it's fine.
I'm not. I don't have to look because it's in my face. I don't have to look. I'm watching it. I see it in front of me. They went and drafted him fourth round, a guy that, you know, maybe a third in NFL teams would consider having him compete for a starting job. And we know this. If you look around the NFL right now, this guy could be competing right now for a starting job on maybe a third of the NFL teams. And all I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, the number two pick in the NFL, and they didn't have the confidence that they should have had with the number two pick, Heisman Trophy winner in the NFL. You know, that's a huge investment. That's your franchise, and you felt so good about them that you went and got somebody in the fourth round.
I agree. It was bad organizational
move.
And I think it's
because they don't have the faith in him that they would have had in a Luck, and I think it's for the reasons that I've stated.
They did say that Luck was first. If they had the first pick overall, they still would take RG3. They've said that many times.
Of course they're supposed to say that. Of course
they trade up for him. They believe in him enough and invest in him enough to trade two first round draft picks away. That's not just nothing. That's a lot of to invest in a quarterback. I mean, two whole first round picks. I mean, let's be honest. Like, receivers go for fourth round picks. Like, Tim Holmes is supposed to trade for a fourth round pick.
I hope they think he's smart enough. Quoting K-Star.
I didn't apply that to RG3. Now you're putting words on. I never apply that to RG3 at all. I actually said the opposite of that. I said I believe RG3 is and will be smart enough to use a skill set within the pocket and not open himself up to injury. But if he does, he's in trouble.
That's great that you feel that way. I don't know that the franchise feels that way based on the fact of who they went and got in the fourth round. That's what I'm saying to you. And I think RG3 deserved more respect than they showed him in that draft. And what I saw this game against the Bears, it's beginning. I mean, that's just the first. Everything has a life cycle. We just saw the beginning. It's going to be a while because RG3 is not going to be like Mark Sanchez. He's not going to be in 2-3 games and out. It'll take some time. And if he's successful and does well, then it's a moot point. Then we don't have to revisit the conversation. It's if he struggles. And I predict that he'll be okay, but I think he's going to struggle. I mean, that's part of being a rookie in the NFL. I think he's going to struggle. All right.
Every rookie struggles, you know.
What's that?
I think every rookie has a struggle.
Yeah, of course, he's going to struggle.
But I don't see dude taking RG3 out anytime.
We'll see. All right, real quick, I already talked about the Cowboys a little bit. And I want to thank NFL Network for only broadcasting from the middle of the second quarter when the scrubs came in through the end of the game. And I still have not seen, other than highlights, the first quarter and a half where the starters played. And the next rebroadcast ain't until tomorrow at midnight, so I will be recording that and watching it so I can see my starters play. But thank you, NFL Network, for, you know, not showing the first quarter. I have no idea why. I don't get it, but, you know, whatever. That's just how they like to do us. So, but I will say this. From what I could piece together from highlights and interviews, the Cowboys look much better. And, you know, they definitely – the defense is right now is really the talk of the town, because the defense, the starting defense is pitching a shutout. The starting defense has not allowed any points while they've been on the field. And as a matter of fact, from what I was told, the Chargers with Phillip Rivers didn't get over the 50-yard line on the starting defense. So I'm very happy about that. Very happy about that. And that's with Mo Claiborne not even being in there, you know, number one, our first-round draft pick for the Cowboys. So I'm very happy with the defense. Obviously, coming out of this game, the number one concern that the Cowboys have is the health of Jason Witten, and the receiving corps is banged up. I mean, Miles Austin, I don't understand how a guy comes into training camp with the same injury he had all last year. I don't get it. I'm gonna defend my team to the end, but I can't defend this. Dude, you missed half the season with a hamstring injury last year, and you come into training camp and you have a hamstring injury. What are you doing? It's freaking August. You haven't played since January 1st. Okay, I ran track. I know all about hamstring injuries. I ran the high hurdles. Number one injury of a high hurdler is a pulled hamstring. I know all about hamstring injuries. It doesn't take 8 months. Now, granted, I wasn't a world-class athlete, but still, a hamstring pull is a hamstring pull. And really, I healed mine in 4 months, and I'm not a world-class athlete. You are. You are. And it's 8 months, and you still, and you're out for the whole preseason? I don't get it. Dez got a little injury going on, but Dez is going to be all right. Dez is a warrior. I'm not worried about Dez, Brian. I'm worried about Witten and that whole spleen thing. Worried about that. So far, no surgery is required, but the injuries are a problem. If we can get healthy in time for the Giant game, I think they will come and compete. But we need our team. You know, we don't need to walk into that game limping. We need to be upright and ready to play. So I'm optimistic, though, that the defense finally is going to step up, because that was the problem last year more than anything else. And they're looking good.
They got Carr and Claiborne now. That makes a huge difference in schematically in that defense. They like to play a lot of man-to-man, exotic blitzes, leak corners on an island. You know, they might finally have it in Carr and Claiborne if he's what he's supposed to be.
Brandon Carr, 2 picks on Phillip Rivers. It's preseason. But I'll take it. I'll take it, because, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, we have 2 corners that can play press coverage. We haven't had that. I can't tell you the last time. Probably since Deion was on the team. So, I mean, you know, and I mean, K-Star, you hit it right on the head. When you have two corners that can do that, then it's like let the dogs loose. And we know in this league that if you can play defense and you can get at that quarterback, you have a chance. The Steelers have shown that. The Bears have shown that. The Giants have certainly shown that. And I think this year the Cowboys will be in that conversation. And the whole new style of, you know, I don't want to say new style. It's probably not the right way to do it. But after the Detroit game last year, where he realized, okay, I have to rely more on my team and not try to make every play on my own. And then we didn't see any more debacles after that. I think this team's going to be something to reckon with. And if not, then, you know, you guys will give me a hard time.
We'll give you a hard time anyway.
let's switch over a little bit. We're going to talk about the Philly-New England game. I'm jumping around a little bit, guys. But before we talk about the Philly-New England game and Michael Vick and stuff, I want to now turn it over to Dr. Train, who wants to bring up something that he saw last night and kind of talk about that for a couple minutes. So this is what we call affectionately Dr. Train's Fly. We need to get some music for you, man. You know, we need to get like a song or something. When I introduce your segment, man, that we can, I don't know. Let me see if I have something on here real good. Let's see. Hold on. Don't leave me just yet. I may have something for you that I know that you'll like. Hold on. Here we go. Wait a minute. No, that's not it either. Where did it go? Is it gone? Oh, man, it's not here. I had something special I wanted to play for you, for your segment, and I can't find it. All right, never mind.
Oh, wow.
I guess I'll have to do it next week.
And there it is. And there it is.
Right.
Yeah, there it is. Right.
But go ahead.
Yeah, we didn't test that out for you.
anyway, like he said,
hold on, I found it. Here we go.
Oh!
Here we go. This is Trains. Here we go.
All right. I love this song, dude.
I know you. That's why.
I love this song. But yeah, like he said, this is Dr. Train's philosophy. Now, there's one thing I saw, you know, and it segues definitely into the Philly New England game last night. But saw in the game, you know, coaches versus players. You had Reeve and Jenkins going at each other's throat. I mean, this is all on camera. I think they kind of kept it there for about a good minute. You know, it looked like it almost 2 seconds from going to blows. But, you know, my question is, you know, if that's something that you really want to see on the sideline, even as a fan, as a GM, even as a, you know, as a fellow player, do you really want to see coaches and players going at their throats on the sidelines? Now, I've seen offensive coordinators. You know, they're not on the same level as the head coach, you know. But we're talking about the head coach. We're talking about the supposed to be the most respected person among of the players, you know. And me personally, I don't like to see that at all, because I feel like whatever Andy Reid had to say to him needed to be said. And no matter it's heat of the moment, no matter if you didn't like what he had to say, I mean, New England was killing them with Ryan Mattick. They didn't even have Tom Brady, wasn't even on the field. Gronkowski, no Hernandez, no Brandon Lloyd. And none of the guys that we wanted to see in the game. You know, they're moving the ball on you with Ryan Mattick, and you get upset because your head coach has something to say to you about it. Whether he was right or wrong, this is your head coach. You know, now, mind you, yeah, the camera caught it, but still, if he wants to chew you out when you come over to the sideline, then you take the chewing, and then you get back in there and do your job. That's just my.
K-Star, what do you think?
Well, we've seen issues like this all the time where a coach blows up a player on the sideline. Happens pretty annually in the NFL, probably a couple times a year. It's, you know what, it's football. It's a game full and play with emotion from opening snap to the end of the fourth quarter, and it'll continue to be that way. Emotions always pour over to the sidelines. You see it frequently. I do feel, however, with it being the Eagles, it's a little bit more magnified and probably justifiably so, only because it's a team that had so much distraction last year, somewhat of an implosion last year. And you have to be concerned going into the season for them with the banged up Michael Vick and maybe some team chemistry problems, as well as performance on the field in this, you know, these past couple preseason games. They say it's just preseason, but to be torn up by Ryan Mallett, as Trey had said, without even the weapons normally provided in the Patriots starting offense, I'll be pretty concerned if I were an Eagles fan today. But we shouldn't really overreact in preseason as well. But the one thing, again, the one constant thing we do have to question as far as the Eagles go is Michael Vick's health, because he's extremely tied to that team's success throughout the season and for the playoffs.
Anyway, stay on point. Stay on point. You're getting off point.
Stay on
the point is the confrontation. We're going to go there, but stay on point.
Yeah, but as I said, you know, the sideline blow-up, I was just, you know, again, it happens so often in the NFL. We talk about it all the time when it does happen. I don't think it's too telling, but from the year they had last year, it could be perceived to be that.
Well, we will talk about Michael Vick's health in a second. I wanted to comment that I don't disagree with anything you guys said. And I was listening to this very topic on another show today, and they had mentioned how Andy Reid's son, passed away a couple weeks ago, and, not sure what kind of mental shape Andy Reid's in, to consider that, which, I don't know, I didn't really consider, because if he's not ready to coach, he shouldn't be coaching. I mean, take as much time as you need. You lost your son. But, as a Dallas Cowboy fan who has watched the Philadelphia Eagles at least two times a year, every year since I've been a Dallas Cowboy fan, watched a number of games the Eagles have played against the Redskins and the Giants. And so I feel that I know NFC East teams very, very well because I'm exposed to them all the time because those games impact my team. And when I watched that, I got nervous because I've watched Andy Reid. I've watched him for years. I've never seen him raise his voice. I've never seen him get into a shouting match with a player. I mean, granted, Cullen Jenkins, you're right, Train. That's your head coach, man. Take it on the chin and deal with it later. But Andy Reid was mad, okay? He was mad. I mean, as mad as I've ever seen him. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible that he couldn't have been that mad before. I'm just saying I've watched enough Eagles. I've never seen him that mad. And I got nervous because if he's that pissed off now in preseason, he's going to light a fire underneath that team, and y'all better be ready. So if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm happy because you came off a year where you were the dream team and you finished 8-8. 8-8, okay? 8-8. You started off 4-8. And you played this wide nine defense that you didn't even know how to play. You took a guy who was an offensive line coach, and you made him your defensive coordinator. You had a quarterback that couldn't stay healthy. We're going to talk about him in a minute. And so there was a lot of problems on that team last year. I never saw Andy Reid get upset. And I'm saying he didn't, but never could. Cameras didn't catch it. Now you're in preseason game two, and he's going over to the defense and getting in that guy's face like that? Oh, be very scared, NFC East and NFC teams. The Eagles are coming, okay? They're coming. They're coming to play because Andy Reid, he's in his 14th season. He knows, I can't get much more of a pass. And I have all the talent now. We need to do something, and I think that's what we saw. Like you guys said, he's playing against the Patriots' second and third team, and they're moving the ball up and down the field, okay? So I'm nervous now because I'm seeing something I've never seen before, and it scares me. It scares me. So that's my takeaway from that. Let's transition over to Michael Vick's health. And K-Star really wanted to get into this, so I'm gonna normally – I would go to Train first, but I'm going to go to K-Star because he really wanted to get into the issue of Michael Vick's health. And, we saw him take a sack in the ribs and he was out for the game. And so far we haven't heard anything permanent with the ribs. But K-Star, what are your thoughts on Michael Vick's health and his inability to stay healthy?
As a fan, as a Michael Vick fan and spectator for the game, it's really disheartening because I think with Vic's inability to protect himself within the pocket, outside the pocket. In two preseason games, the man has injured two possibly serious injuries. Now, he escaped the scenes, both of them, for now. But the man is, 32 years old? And his body, he's a very small guy. They say he weighs 215 pounds. I don't know if I believe that to be true. He's a very small player out there, and he's just opening himself up to such dangerous hits. And at this point in his career, I'm afraid that Mike Vick might be too brittle to last, hell, even a 12-game season for them because he hasn't learned to protect himself in the pocket. That play last night to throw that ball to Deshaun Jackson on the field was beyond unnecessary. It was unnecessary. He could have thrown the ball away. He could have just stepped up in the pocket. He opened himself up to safe exposure. In the previous week, again, he banged his thumb on the hand, or on the helmet, rather, of an offensive lineman, which we had thought for a while was fluke, being that it happened last year, but it happened again. So, with Mike Vick, please, man, it's sad. It really is sad to see because I want to see Michael Vick excel. I want to see that Michael Vick from 2010, who was such a phenom of a player, And, you know, even then he struggled with injury. He lost, he missed three games in 2010 with a rib injury, and here we are again. But I just think at this age and this point in his career, his body is starting to give up on him simply because he's taken so many hits throughout the years, and he's such a small-framed guy. I'm worried. I really am worried for Michael Vick's health long-term and this year.
Trey?
Listen, I only have one bit of advice for Vick. If your line is not going to protect you long enough, then you need to protect yourself. So if that requires you getting rid of the ball sooner, if that requires you using your mobility to make a play, extend the play, get away from these defenders that are getting faster and faster each year because era where passing the ball is what you want to keep. And everyone's passing the ball, so you got to have the pass rush in order to get to the quarterback. Your mobile quarterbacks, so they're coming for you faster, dude, you have to protect yourself. Your line is not going to protect you. You have to, you know, get out of the pocket or release there. Don't have the pressure to be a pocket passing quarterback and just stand there and take the hit. You don't have the frame for it unless you want to get knocked out and get some concussions and end your football career early. Because like Haystar, I love watching Michael Vick play. I think it's fun, man. I mean, it's amazing. Dude has an arm. I mean, this is his second stint with the season. He's playing the position a lot smarter, but it's just a big blow just to football fans alone, but to watch the Eagles, and then there's no Michael Vick at quarterback. So if the line's not going to protect him long enough, then he needs to protect himself. And that's either getting rid of the ball sooner or getting the hell out of that pocket so you can stay alive.
Yeah. Well, in order for me to comment on this fairly, I have to take off my loyal hat for a minute. Because there's no way that I can sit here as a Dallas Cowboy fan and say I want to see Michael Vick perform and do well. As a Dallas Cowboy fan, I could care less. Crush the ribs, break his leg, I don't care. You're going to run out of the pocket, get hurt, I don't care. You're trying to win a division that my team is in. But let me take off my Dallas Cowboy hat for a minute and talk to you as an NFL fan, as a fan of football in general. And as a fan of football in general, I agree with you to the standpoint that Michael Vick is a very exciting player, and I enjoy seeing him when he's healthy at his best. Here's the problem. Michael Vick is confused. He's confused because when he ran the ball, people said he's running the ball too much. He needs to, you know, stay in the pocket, maybe move around in the pocket. But if he would wait a beat longer, he'd give his receivers a chance to get open. And that's what a quarterback needs to do. He's a run first, pass second guy. He got a lot of heat for that. Okay, and so we've seen him try to hang around in the pocket a little more. The problem is, as we said, he's 5'11", maybe 200 pounds, maybe soaking wet.
Maybe. Yeah,
maybe. And so I think he's confused. I think Vic has to do what Vic has always done, which is you're elusive and you're fast. But the difference now is I think where you used to cut up field and try to make people miss, I do think now at 32 years old, you need to be sliding feet first and you need to be running out of bounds, period. I don't think at this point in your career that you need to do the things that we saw you do in Atlanta that made you one of the most sought-after video game Madden players ever. Everybody wanted to play with Mike Vick. It was almost unfair. K-Star could tell everybody that. It was almost unfair if you had Michael Vick, you know. And it was pretty much what he did in the NFL. I still laugh at the game against Minnesota where the guys tried to tackle him and they ran into each other because the guy was just so fast, you know. I don't think you can be completely that guy again, but I think you have to just go ahead and play your game. And your game is, if I see it, I'm going to take it. That's his game. That's what got him the first $100 million contract, and that's what got him this $100 million contract. With Donovan McNabb was just getting old. He couldn't do it anymore. And Kevin Cobb just wasn't that effective. And we see now in Arizona where it looks like Skelton's going to beat out Cobb. Cobb was never really that good, in my opinion. And so I think Michael Vick has to play his game. But I will agree with you guys. You got to protect yourself, man. Slide more, go down, run out of bounds. You know, live for the next play. and don't feel like you have to go in and take that hit and take that crunch that you used to take and risk. I'm going to try to cut a field, and if they hit me, I'm fast. Don't just slide, bro. Just slide. You'll be okay. You don't have to rush for 1,000 yards this year. You know, as a football fan, I'd like to see you play 16 games and see what these Eagles can do, you know, with health. You know, I'd like to see that as a football fan. As a Cowboy fan, I don't care what he does. Anyway.
Well, I'm just worried because at this point, it's like, you're right. Not only is he facing an identity crisis, but it's almost a moot point because he seems like he's just too brittle now. Like, he's always been a small guy, but maybe now that he's older, his body can't withstand the punishment of NFL defenders. I mean, look, those defensive linemen, as fast as they are, they can get to him. Maybe, you know, not as frequent as other quarterbacks, of course, because it's still Michael Vick. But when they do get to him, they fall on that man hard. He's very small.
Listen,
so,
let me tell you something. Do you guys remember Javon Curse?
Yes.
A.K.A.
Yeah.
The Freak.
The Freak.
The Freak. All right. Javon Curse was ahead of his time. Now there's 15, 20 linebacker slash defensive end types, 6'5", 6'6", long arms that can move, that can run, that can hit. When Curse
played, division.
Absolutely, absolutely. When Curse played, you know, the guys like that were few and far between, and thus they stood out. But now, I mean, where? JPP, Harrison, Julius Peppers, we could go on and on and on. And these guys can run. Maybe they're not as fast as Vic, but you get that angle, they're going to catch you. And they got long arms, and they hit. And they hit now. So he got to understand, this is, you know, you've been in the league now 10 years. You took a couple years off. Okay. But it's not that same league anymore. These boys are coming to hit you now. And they will catch you, you know? I mean, granted, if you get behind them, ain't nobody going to catch you. But you got to get there. And I agree. I agree on that point. I agree completely.
I just think, I mean, this is the last thing. I think I just like the point that you made, T, is that he has to play his game. He has to play his style of quarterback. Let's consider, one, that offense is wide open for his style of quarterback play. It's not made for the pocket passing quarterback. Okay, it's made for Vic's style of play. It's the reason why Andy Reid anointed him starter. You know, besides him playing so well in it, it allows you to be mobile. It allows you to spread the offense and hit defenses. You know what I'm saying? With the nickel and dime passes down the field, and then every so often hit them with the big play. You know what I'm saying? It's designed. Offense designed to go through LeSean McCoy, who is a miniature beast in his own nature. Dude, he doesn't have to sit in there and take those hits. That's idiotic. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and he's got two guys on his team, McCoy and DeSean Jackson, who are very skilled at avoiding as much as they can to direct heavy impact. DeSean Jackson's a tiny dude, but, you know, he doesn't take a lot of serious crunching, you know, hits. And same thing with McCoy. These guys, they're very elusive, and they know. And what's that?
And these are younger guys. Vic isn't, you know, a young pup anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, as a football fan, I hope that he shapes up. And, I just checked, and so far, they said the MRI came back with no
negative.
Serious to the ribs. Yeah, negative. So,
bruised ribs, apparently.
Yeah. So, that's good. That's good for him. Let's talk about Seattle and Denver, and my man T.O. and Peyton Manning, and did we learn anything? And, let's start with T.O., who 0 for 5. He was targeted 5 times and didn't catch anything, and including an obvious drop on a 46-yard touchdown pass that just went through his hands. K-Star is you know, what's your prediction on T.O. making this team with that kind of performance?
Listen, he was on starting. He was a starting receiver that night, so that should tell you a lot already. And moreover, I mean, he got behind the whole Denver defense. He got behind it. The easiest job for a receiver after the fact, catch the ball. So he's already doing the hard work. He's already doing
the harder things that people are wondering at his age of, what, 38, 36, if he could still get behind the defense. Well, we answered that question. As far as catching the ball, he can do that too. You know, that's more of a concentration thing. Again, I think it speaks absolute volumes that he was starting number one receiver for that game. That should tell you how the coaches feel about him already. And while, again, you know, he did make the play on the ball and everything, he still got behind that whole entire Denver Bronco defense. So if that's not telling, then I'm not really sure what is. I believe in T.O. this season. I really do.
Trey, you agree? You disagree?
Man, I'm going to give T.O. the benefit of the doubt. You know, first game back. Then I leave whole season. You know, the I didn't see all of his plays, but I did see the deep ball. And, yeah, it's a jaw dropper, you know, because there's no way T.O. drops that ball on any, you know, on any given Sunday. He doesn't drop that ball. That's like a bread basket catch. You can't drop that. But I'm giving it a sit down. First game back, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be all right.
I'm going to now segue, before we talk about Peyton Manning, I'm going to segue into my segment, T-Bonics, where I asked the question, you guys can comment momentarily, but I asked the question, is that T.O. had nothing to say after that game, after that poor performance. Is that good or is that bad? And the reason I asked that question is T.O. is my favorite player in the NFL. I like him as a player. I like his work ethic. And the one thing that no one denies is how hard that guy works, not only in the game, but in practice. And he stays in shape all year round. And look, at 38, will be 39 in December, still running 4.440s. And, yes, got behind that defense, okay, at 38 years old. And that's one of the reasons why he's in the NFL again is that doggone speed. And I don't even have a problem with the drop. I don't. He's only been, what, 2 weeks? You know, it's rust. I don't have a problem with it. It would have been nice had he caught it. But I don't have a problem with the drive. I do have a problem with Mr. T.O. And T.O. actually tweeted me once. I sent him a tweet when he left Dallas, and I wished him well. And he tweeted me back, thank you, and all the Cowboy fans that supported me. Had that tweet for a long time, but I guess at some point they delete him. But it was a very proud moment in my life that I actually got a tweet from Terrell Owens.
Wow.
But with that said, I'm disappointed in you, T.O. Because I want to ask everyone out there listening one question. If you know anything about the NFL and have watched Terrell Owens in his career, if he had caught that ball, would he not been on the podium in a post-game interview? The answer to that question is absolutely. If he had caught that touchdown pass, 46-yard deep touchdown pass, with his appearance on Dr. Phil and his reality show and all of the stuff that he's gone through and the Wranglers and Drew Pearson, the Dallas Hall of Famer, saying that he's a bad locker room presence and all the stuff that he's gone through in the last 21 months. And he comes back in his first game, catches a 46-yard touchdown pass. Do you not think that he would not have been on the podium? I'm not saying he would have said anything wrong, but he would have been up there saying, you know, felt good, it's good to be back, and I told you guys that I could play this game, and I'm just excited, da-da-da-da-da, yada, yada, yada. And I can guarantee you, and I don't guarantee many things, he would have been up there basking in the glory of being T.O. again. But he didn't catch that ball. He dropped it. We can make excuses. We can. He's rusty. He's out of the league. You know, he's only been back a couple of weeks. I can see all that's true. And I think, as K-Star and Trainer said, I give him the benefit of the doubt. I give him a break, and I wish him well this year. And I do think that he'll have a decent year. But I don't like the fact that you can stand up there and take it on and gloat, as we know T.O. has done his whole career, but you did not get up there and say, my bad, should have caught that one, just need to keep working hard and whatever else. Because this is the time that he needs to show them he is a team player. You're getting – this might be it for you. This might be your last chance. You may not get another chance if they cut you. You went 0-for-5 on a team where they said, we're giving you a chance. And one of the biggest knocks – T.O. was not in the league because he was injured. T.O. was not in the league because he's not talented. Even at 38 years old, T.O. had a hard time getting a job because of his attitude and his mouth. That's why. and you have a chance after a bad game to go out and be a team player and take it on the chin and say, yep, I didn't play well. It's my first game back, but I'm going to keep working hard, whatever, 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 and show people that you have learned a lesson. And instead, nothing. And I don't want to hear the Seattle Seahawks didn't make him available. I don't want to hear that crap. That's garbage. If he wanted to be up there talking, he would have been out there. I guarantee you that. If he had scored, he would have been out there. So, T.O., in the unlikely event that you're listening to the Madden voice, because I know we're not friends, but in the unlikely event that you are, if you have a bad game, a mediocre game, or a great game, have one policy. Either you talk to the press or you don't. Marion Barber played for the Dallas Cowboys for 5 years and had 3 very good years with them. Never talked to the press, whether he ran for 160 yards or whether he ran for 6 yards. All right, that's your philosophy. You weren't that guy. I get it. But T.O. has been that guy his whole career. And now's a chance to show the NFL that maybe you're not the guy you used to be, but maybe this guy has learned something, and you blew a great opportunity to show, and I hope you learned from it. Any comments?
I co-sign everything you just said.
Yeah.
No, literally. I mean, you really just nailed it there. I mean, there's really nothing else that needs to be said. That was well said.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Peyton Manning, 16 for 23, 177 yards, 2 interceptions. K-Star, you know a lot about Peyton Manning since you live in the area where he played his whole career. There are rumblings that Peyton Manning's velocity isn't what it used to be. There are rumblings that maybe Peyton isn't quite as healthy as everybody thought. It's just rumblings. Should we be concerned about Peyton Manning?
No. And here's why. I mean, if you look at those numbers from the surface, it looked like, you know, it was a decent game. The interceptions obviously hurt, but, you know, 16-23, 170 yards. It shows you that he's, you know, moving the ball down the field, but it's not capitalizing on those opportunities, which has been true with this preseason for him. But if you had, you know, watched the game and everything, you could see that his intermediate passes. He drove down the field pretty easily. His first pass was hit to the line of scrimmage and picked off. You know, that's not really an arm strength issue. That's more of a dumb luck kind of thing. As far as tip passes, line of scrimmage go, that ball can bounce any which direction. Now, on the deep pass he had down the seam, it's a pass he used to make quite often. I believe that was a cover 3, zone coverage. He tried to thread the needle there, which he did so often in Indianapolis. To me, it looked as if the ball sailed on him. I don't think he can't make that throw anymore. I just believe it kind of left his hand funny, simply because Peyton Manning's thrown many a wobbler, many a bad spiral from what I've seen, you know, as his days as an Indianapolis quarterback. That'll happen. But again, you know, he keeps moving the ball down the field. They had a scoring drive together, capped off by Willis McGahee touchdown. They're driving the field with ease. I think he'll be fine. And moreover, if he did lose a little bit of that velocity, he'll be fine, only because he is a smart quarterback. He knows he does so much of the line of scrimmage. He knows how to set up defense. Defense is in a bad situation. He'll exploit it. But, again, I think the man's fine. He's paid Manning, for God's sakes. He looked good to me out there. Again, those 2 picks, not really on him except for the other one. Got out of his hand funny. But, again, if he lost that, if he really did lose the touch, he's not going to make that throw again. That's what the preseason's for. I think he's just trying to, you know, see what his arm can do, what it can't do.
Train, anything to add?
Listen, man, if there's any time for Peyton Manning to have bad performances, it will be now. This is the preseason. Nothing counts.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, Peyton Manning is back. All right? Let's not forget this dude is a tactician of the game. Let's not forget when the lights go on, he has already studied his team to study his opponent to his feet. So when it's time for the regular season to start, oh, they got to be ready. He'll make the throws that he needs to make. He'll know how to beat the defenses that he needs to beat. It's Peyton Manning. Yeah.
I will only say this. 80% of Peyton Manning is still better than, you know, 80% of the NFL. I mean, you know, take away Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers. Take those 3 away, and I think Peyton Manning – 80% is still better than probably everybody else. There might be, you know, Ben is pretty good. I still think Tony's pretty good. Eli's pretty good. But I think 80% of Manning is still right there with those quarterbacks. And 90% of him, he's still looking over and looking at Rodgers and rating them guys like, I see y'all. So,
yeah.
You know, at this point, overall, I think he looks phenomenal for a guy that missed all of last year, 4 neck surgeries, you know, and I think he looks great. And I agree with you guys. This is the time as he's learning the new team. And, you know, if he was still playing with the Colts, he's playing with like Reggie Rain and Dallas Clark and those guys that are used to his timing and there was an issue with his arm, I'd be very worried because that's what they're used to. But really the only one on there was Stokely, played with him a few years back. But, I mean, for the most part, there's really no one there that has to get used to new timing if his arm doesn't quite have that velocity. So these guys, they're not going to know the difference. They're only going to know this Peyton Manning. So, all right, so maybe he can't throw the ball 65 yards. Maybe he can throw a 55. Fine. I think he'll still be
he'll make
fine.
He'll make that adjustment. You know, he'll make that adjustment and, you know, play accordingly.
I agree. I agree. All right, it's 9:45, 347-838-9525. We're running a little long. We had a call earlier that I thought was a pretty good call, so I allowed him to stay on longer than most calls, and appreciate the support. And but so now what I want to do, I know we have other things to talk about. I'm not sure how much of it we can get to tonight because I am mindful that those of you who are listening live at 10 o'clock will probably say, okay, thanks, Mad Voice. We're going to not go over and see Hard Knocks. But we may run a few minutes past 10, so if you guys can just, like, pause the DVR for a few minutes and let us wrap up, we'd appreciate it. But that said, let me go to K-Star, who has a fantasy spotlight that he would talk about. And before he does that, I just want to say that I noticed he didn't comment on ESPN's ranking of fantasy running backs and where they had the lock, Darryl McFadden, at 11th. Not even in the top 10. They had him at 11th. And I'm just saying. But anyway, but go ahead, K-Star.
And that's laughable to me. But anyway, yeah, I want to focus on second-year player in the league, Julio Jones from the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, this is a guy who's been touted, you know, all offseason as a can't-miss player, this, that, and the third. But where, you know, in which should you take Julio Jones in this upcoming draft that you guys are all probably about to partake in either this week or next week or before the season begins? Julio Jones, to me, is the kind of player of a Calvin Johnson mold. Physically, athletically, he seems to have his mind in check. You know, he's not one of the receiver receivers because we don't have those anymore. But moreover, the man is a monster target. And being that it's his second year and with the skill set that he's shown already in his rookie year, he's a guy that I personally target a high-end number one wide receiver. Because, again, in fantasy football, our jobs project going forward, if we were just to use last year's stats only, we would just be stuck with the same situation every year. So going forward, you know, Julio Jones, he has to be a lock this year to be a top number one receiver because the passing offense that he's in, the situation that he's in, he's going to get the ball. And he has a new offense coordinator there in Atlanta. And even last year, with his rookie year, he still had 980 yards, at least 7 touchdowns, and that was with 4 games missed. The guy's a phenom athlete. And my advice to anyone out there, especially in keeper leagues, is take Julio Jones, take that man, put your flyer in on him because you're going to regret if you end up passing on him on draft day, per se, a guy like, and he's very good, a guy like, you know, Greg Jennings or Wes Welker. Great fantasy receivers, I'm telling you. This guy's potential's through the roof, and I think we're going to see this man explode this year. So, keeper league, I would aim for this man very, very high. Standard league, late second round, early, you know, mid to late second round pick. But there's no way he should fall to the third round. The guy's too talented. He's going to be too good this year. So, in case you weren't aware, look out for the man Julio Jones in Atlanta. He's going to be a phenom this season.
Now, let me just ask you to clarify, because on the Falcons, obviously they still have Tony Gonzalez, the ageless one, at tight end. And for my money, probably the greatest tight end of all time for my money. But at wide receiver, they really don't have anybody. I mean, Roddy White's pretty good. But other than that, I mean, they don't have anybody. So I agree with you on that team. You know, he should be a shoe-in to be the number one receiver. If he's not already, he should be. But when you say he's going to be a phenom, I just want to make sure I'm not saying I don't agree with you. I'm just trying to be clear. Are you now saying he's going to be up Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, like that level this year? Is that what you're looking at?
I believe he'll finish in top five in fantasy points receiver this year. I think he has that kind of talent and that kind of work ethic to do it. I'm a big Julio Jones fan, but fan within for a reason, because of sheer athleticism. And, again, he has a great mindset in my eyes. Follow him on Twitter, by the way. But, no, his talent dictates his performance so often, because he's going to get those targets in Atlanta this year. And I think Matt Ryan's play will also elevate. And he plays in the dome. The guy's a burner anyway. He's a huge target. And, I mean, we know it's just preseason, but hell, his first preseason, he can get over 100 yards and a touchdown in limited action. I mean, I do see him finishing top five in fantasy points receiver. And I think that when you look back at this draft, I think the biggest draft value receiver that if you take a chance on should be Julio Jones, because he just has potential to be a top five guy because of his athletic build.
Trey, any quick comments or retorts to that?
Yes, real quickly. Not that I disagree with you. I think definitely Julio Jones is definitely a person you should target in fantasy football, but I think you guys are forgetting the other targets on the team. Gonzalez is still playing at a good level. Roddy White is still the number one receiver. They also run the ball there with Michael Turner, and then they have the slot receiver in Harry Douglas. So you have to take that into consideration when we talk about how many targets Julio Jones.
That's true.
Game start. So, you know, taking those into account, I still think this guy will be a beast, but you know, when you start looking at fantasy football receivers, you look at teams that you know 100% throws the ball to that particular receiver almost all the time.
And this is training camp talk. This is training camp talk. You know, really, we don't know if you can trust or not, but word is in Atlanta. And, again, they have a new offensive coordinator. And word is in Atlanta, they're going to limit Turner's carries this season because they feel he's been worked, and they're going to go into more passing scheme offense. Again, that could just be fodder for all of us to just talk about and only just, you know, kind of outsmart the media, so to speak. But, I mean, again, a new offensive coordinator, I'm willing to believe that he's going to take advantage of that skill set. And the skill set to me is the receiving core, and it features Julio Jones now. We're going to see it this year.
Well, I don't disagree. Julio Jones has all the tools to be, when I go top five, I'm not sure. But he definitely top 10, if not top 5. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with you. My problem is what you said, and I agree with, is Matt Ryan's got to take it one more level for that to happen. And he's got to take it one more level. And I'm not sure he can. I'm not sure he has another level. I'm not sure that Matt Ryan has another level. So I'm gonna wait and see if he can show us that he can now go to the elite level of quarterbacks and be that guy, and then we can say, okay. Because I don't think Matthew Stafford is an elite quarterback, but Calvin Johnson is just incomparable. He's just incomparable, okay? Larry Fitzgerald is another one, incomparable. So for Julio to get to that level, I think he's going to need Ryan to step up. I don't think Julio right now is just – and it will come down to targets. And I don't think – I think Michael Turner is a monster. They'd be crazy to cut back on his carries. Crazy. I mean, I had him in fantasy last year, and a dude racked up points for me. So, I mean, I don't disagree with what you said, K-Star, as to what you heard about their report. I think they're throwing it out there to throw people off. He's gonna get his 300 carries, you know. So Jones may just not even have enough targets to get to that next level. I don't know. But I agree with talent-wise, though. Oh, yeah, he's a phenom.
Just how you made the point about Calvin Johnson making Matt Stafford, I really do believe Julio Jones can make Matt Ryan appear to be way better than he really is.
That's a good point.
My only thing, just to agree with what he said real quick, the success of Atlanta is dependent on how well Michael Turner runs that ball. Okay? They have to give him the ball.
Yeah.
They have to be able to run the ball. And I think because of that, as far as fantasy football is concerned, you may not see Julio Jones in the top five unless he creates yak.
catch the ball.
He has that ability. He has that ability.
He does have the ability, but, you know, offense runs through turn, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But if they were smart, they would try to utilize Julio Jones more. I do agree with that. Now let's just see if they're smart based on our analysis, or if they're going to go another direction. real quick, latest on Chad Johnson, Randy Moss. Randy Moss played. He had 3 catches. By all accounts, he's progressing very well. He's a leader on the field, off the field. One small thing I heard concerned me. I guess Crabtree calls Randy Moss big brother and really picks his brain. I think that's great. But Vernon Davis keeps making fun of Randy Moss's age. You know, and how old are you again, 42? Now, again, we don't know. You know, JPP, Prince of Macamora, yeah, right? But, you know, Vernon Davis is a stud. He's a stud. And I think he liked the fact that he, even as a tight end, right, even as a tight end, he was the man last year for that team. Now they brought in all-world Randy Moss. I have this funny gut feeling that Vernon's not totally happy with that, which he should be. He should be.
He's taking pot shots at Moss because, you know, he's not making all the attention in the receiving core. I can see that. Vernon Davis, you know, in his first or second year, I believe Mike Singletary literally had to kick him off the sideline at one point because of a selfish play. So, I mean, he's obviously come a long way since then, but, I mean – Yeah. Oh.
Wait. Here we go.
No. You don't want me to go much further. Go right ahead. Ask the question. Vernon just, it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team. And then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Now, with all due respect, Mr. Singletary had that team, didn't do anything. Harbaugh came in with almost the same team. And really, you know, 13-3, conference championship game, et cetera, et cetera. So we can't give that rant too much credit. But I played it only because when I heard that he was ribbing Randy Moss, and if you know anything about Randy Moss, he's not one to rip, okay? Because he'll get out there on the field and say, let me show you what I'm capable of, young boy. But I just feel that there might be some tension there. And to be honest with you, I'm on Moss's side because I've never been a big Vernon Davis fan anyway. The other person I wanted to update everybody on real quick was Chad Johnson. It just continues to get worse for Mr. Johnson. A former employee of his is suing him for $130,000 for services rendered on a home that Mr. Johnson owned that he took care of, and he said this is money he owes him, and he's suing him, and that house is in foreclosure. Or heading towards foreclosure if the report came out right.
Wow.
So, I would love to see Randy Chad Johnson get a job, but all of these negative things keep coming forward, and it's going to be – I don't know. I just don't know if a team's going to want to take that risk and bring all that media attention into the camp, and we still don't know what's going to go on with – you know, the court case, although it is a misdemeanor, it's not a felony, but you still got to go deal with the whole divorce and the whole battery charge and all of that. So we will keep our eyes on Chad Johnson, Randy Moss, and Terrell Owens. I call them the big three. We've got a minute to go live, and then we're going to go into stream mode. And if you still want to listen to the Madden voices, we're going to stay on for another 5 minutes, 347-838-9525. And you can still hear us live. And for those of you who have been listening live and you're on the website, you're going to lose us in about 45 seconds. So call in and you can catch the rest of the show. Or you can just wait maybe 45 minutes And the entire show will be on iTunes as an archive, and you can catch it then. Whatever works for you guys, but just wanted to let you know. And sorry again, we had a call to go a little long, but I thought it was a good call, so we certainly enjoyed it. But K-Star, you had wanted to talk about Blaine Gabbert's performance against the Saints and some comments, some observations you had about the Jags and the Saints, and also talk a little bit about MJD and his holdout. So, K-Star, I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah, real quick. I'm not sure if anyone caught the Jaguars-Saints performance, but a preseason game. Yeah, I do want to remind everyone it was a preseason game. But Blaine Gabbert actually looked really impressive. And for a guy who we figured would be a bust, just off rookie year alone, you know, let's not become too just prisoner of the moment type, you know, guys. Let's not just rush to judgment all the time, because this guy, I mean, I don't expect him to be a very good quarterback or anything like that. But, I mean, let's get a chance. You know, with Justin Blackmon, I think Justin Blackmon's going to help him a lot. The guy looks, again, I know it's only preseason, but skill set-wise, looks like a very, very young Terrell Owens. I don't know if anyone saw the game or preseason game at all, but the man had very strong hands, was breaking tackles, and I think the Jaguars can be an interesting team to watch this year. Depending if Maurice Jones-Drew does come back or not, because up to this point, MJD has been the face of the franchise, and now the owner is acting, the new owner, I should say, Shao Kahn, is now acting as if MJD is expendable, which I think is just ill-advised, especially being that's his franchise player. But nonetheless, I think the Jaguars made an interesting story for these next 2 weeks and going into the season because of this MJD holdout, and moreover, because Blaine Gabbert might be onto something with Justin Blackmon. You know, that's why they brought Blackman on in there. And he also has